I'm going to ask Richard Brock. Richard Brock. Richard Brock's another friend of mine. Yeah, Richard, come on up here and open the meeting with a prayer and introduce yourself again.
Okay. Thank you for the applause, but I certainly don't deserve it. Who deserves it? Our Lord. Amen. Yes. I know everybody goes through it. I probably say it too often, but all the trials and tribulations of the world, it's just a mess, isn't it? But we have our Lord and Savior to get us through, whether the finances are low or the health is low or the relationships, it doesn't really matter, does it? Because we all know where we're going. Sometimes I get selfish about it. Lord, I can't wait to see you. Just take me. But anyway, let's bow our heads and pray. Great God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the food that you provide for us. You give us so much. We just can't even understand how or why, but you do. It's because you love us, great God, and we can never, ever express to you our love for you the way that you do for us. But I ask that you be with all these people, be with Lee as he speaks today. Let him convey your word to us all. Help us, Lord, to follow you in all that we do. We love you so much, great God, and we pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yeah, that was Richard Burgess, right? I got Burgess. That's right. I'll introduce you for you. Yeah. Well, good to see you, and good to see everybody here. We've got two people right now on Zoom, Jack Beecher and Adam Maddox. I think it's Adam Maddox. It says Adam's iPhone, so it's probably Adam. But iPhone, yeah, Adam iPhone. I like that. I like that. Well, this is the Norcross Fellowship Luncheon Zoom meeting. We started this in 1985 at Uncle Albert's Country Buffet, which was the first of many buffets. And the reason we always have this at buffet is because it's biblical. The Bible says to buffet your body, isn't that, or buffet, or something. Yeah, it's in there somewhere. Yeah, so we're just doing what the Bible says, right, Richard? And the purpose has always been to provide a platform for a businessman to share his faith and how that works in the marketplace. We recommend no teaching, preaching, or selling, but just keep the focus on Jesus and how he's impacted the life of a businessman. We try to remain denominationally inclusive and politically neutral and just keep the focus on Jesus and how he's impacted the life of a businessman and also specifically also in the business arena, if that applies, because what the Bible says about who we are and who God is and what he wants to communicate with us is really hard to believe. Mm-hmm. And I went to my Indiana Tech homecoming about a month and a half ago or so, maybe a month ago. And over the years, it's a small technical college that where I went to school, graduated in 1970. And over the years, I've got to had an opportunity to get to know some of the people in leadership there, and the current president and his wife are strong Christians. That college is not Christian, but it has a strong heritage of Christian men and women that run that. But we have a prayer time there for the alumni that I kind of co-host. So I suggested at the end of the testimony, which was really great, I said, you know, the vision I have is what would happen if you would combine specifically the truths of the Bible with engineering. In other words, say, okay, what does God say about this or that, or you know, and how do we apply that specifically in engineering, and how to listen to learn to listen to God as we do that? And those of you who have been Christians for any length of time know God speaks to you profound things. As simple as directions on driving to this place, which I felt I got some direction from God. I didn't know whether the other route had some construction or something, but I went to this one intersection where I normally turn left, and I felt the Lord said, go straight. And so I did, and got here in my half hour and got set up in pretty good time. So, but we really, really underplay the supernatural move of God and his interest in communicating with us and speaking to us, sometimes audibly. We've heard testimonies of men that have had an audible of the voice of God speak to them, and I haven't had that yet, but close. And I'm sure you all have had that too, where you're something is so strong in your thinking or in your mind that you know that it's the Lord. And so the challenge is to follow through. James says, "Works without faith without works is dead." And by that, he doesn't mean we can be saved by works, but he says, if you believe that Jesus said you're going to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, and you don't apply that, it's dead. It doesn't work. And so that sometimes takes risk. John, what was his name? John the Baptist? Or John the Presbyterian, it could have been too, but anyway. John Wimber, a great, I love that man. He died at a fairly early age, but he was a rock star, converted into, he used to play with the Righteous Brothers, but got converted, and he said, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. When you risk something, or generally when you go and do something that's bold for the Lord, it's a risk of some sort. Well, Larry, how about them dogs? Schrader is here. Come on up here and tell us all about it, and try to stay close to the mic here. Okay.
You know, good. In fact, Hines had a divine direction, and I did not. And I'm coming from the side of town you're coming from, Stacy, but glad to see you here. And I haven't figured out how to get here yet. The closest way. Maybe I need to pay more attention to what God's directing me to do instead of trying to figure it out on my own. You know, he did provide that GPS that I could. I thought of that when I was frustrated with the traffic. I'm up far enough away from the traffic as you are, Stacy, to realize that it's better without the traffic. But when I get here in it, it really causes a problem for me. And I realized I can't even buy this place because I went to Pleasant Hill and then came back. So there's a better way. If you know what I'm talking about, sometimes you can figure out there's a better way. And the GPS knows. Deborah, my wife, gets in an argument with that GPS often. She says, that's not the best way to go. Anyway, I said, it's the GPS, Deborah. Let's just follow it. You know, as we follow God, as Hines mentioned, it may be on the way to the meeting here that you get some direction. But for me, it's in his word. I don't mean to say that Hines doesn't get that. I don't mean to imply that. But he gave an example of God's direction, which is valid. But God's direction through his word really provides for me a history when I look at the Old Testament. When I was reading in the book of Genesis this morning, I was reading about Joseph. And you probably remember the story of Joseph being the favorite son and his brothers really attacking him and throwing him into a pit, took his coat and killed an animal, took the blood, speared it on there, and told his dad that the wild animal had attacked him. In fact, Joseph's life, as I read it this morning and thought about the goods and the bads in Joseph's life, he saw a lot of stuff. Because as he was cast into the pit there by his brothers, what a way to go. Don't you know that's a negative feeling? But yet he went on in life and was in a situation where he became a favorite of Potiphar and Potiphar's wife. In fact, as I was reading about it this morning, there were some things that occurred to me, and I thought about our story that we put together, because I'm reading that the scripture there, and it's a story about Joseph. I thought about our personal stories that we're putting together. With every business decision we make, with every spiritual decision we make, with every personal decision from the home front that we make, we're putting together a story. And so I say, what will your story tell? And I thought about Joseph's story. I thought about the example that he gives of remaining consistently in a good relationship with God. In fact, we look in Genesis 39:8-9. So this is getting back to Potiphar. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care and Joseph in charge. He did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" Now, thinking about the places we've been where the emotion is such that we are not going to let that guy. Stacy, with your football background, I know there's a competitive nature in many of us that says, "I'm not going to let that guy defeat me." And if you're not careful, you let the emotions take over, and it becomes something that you don't even have a good reason for not letting that guy defeat you. Where if we were in a situation where we would recognize, as Joseph did here, in this emotional situation where he recognized that he has got to please God. Maybe that emotional situation of showing how competitive we are and how we're going to win. We know how to win. But wait a minute. Are we really supposed to be winning? Maybe we need to check with God. Maybe that adversity we're facing, it's where we can get some direction. See, when we're facing these emotional decisions, we need to pause. We need to think about the whole situation. Is this a time that's really worth it? Is this a battle worth fighting? We need to pause and think about that. As we think about the things that are going on in this country, it's easy to say that the people have got the wrong ideas, because we know they have. But is God doing something here that he's going to be able to reveal himself in a greater way than he's ever revealed himself to us? As we change and I move up to Dawsonville and this is not the same as it was before, does it mean that it's not supposed to happen because I'm having to figure out different ways to get here? I don't know. We have to think about it. We have to think about a lot of things. And we need to be careful and not get our emotions so involved that we make emotional decisions. Me in the real estate business, people make emotional decisions on buying houses. I've been in situations over the last several weeks where I've saw the emotions cause people to make decisions that I don't think they should have made. And you know, as we get more mature, we understand that those rash decisions many times can end up being wrong. We saw the prices of houses increase so much in the real estate business. I got word now that Zillow has acquired so many houses, they got so many in the pipeline, they're going to quit buying them now. And you think about a huge vessel when it's navigating water, say a big boat, and it suddenly realizes it's off course. It takes some time for that thing to get back on course. But you take a little vessel like us, we can recognize we need to change directions. Boom. We change directions quickly. We're more nimble. If we are properly aligned with God, we can recognize quickly His direction for our lives. And if we've made a commitment to follow Jesus, and we've made a commitment to be with the Lord regularly through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit's direction, we can become more than we ever have been before. We can become more every day. We can grow. We can see God doing things every day if we pay attention. And I believe as we understand the situation in the world, as Joseph looked at the situations he faced, you know, there was another time that he was in prison, and it became known that he interpreted dreams. And it ends up that the Pharaoh heard about it. Somebody told the Pharaoh about it. He said, bring him in here. Turns out on down in Genesis 41, this scripture, and then I'm going to turn it over to Jeff. Says, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, after he got Joseph in front, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. Now he's saying this to a prisoner that's been brought in front of him. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. Think about what just happened here in the scripture. Joseph interprets that dream, and the Pharaoh puts him in charge of everything. And through that, in that dream, he talked about a shortage of food and how they had to have a lot of grain. If you remember the story, it was through all that grain that people were coming in and buying it when Joseph was in charge. And his brothers that I mentioned earlier was in that group. They didn't recognize Joseph, but he knew who it was. He didn't hold back the grain from them. He sold the grain. It was a decision that he made because of the relationship he's got with God, I believe. That he made the right thing to where he could show the brothers how wrong they were without having to pound the Bible, without having to say, see, I got you, buddy. No, that wasn't the way it went. As I read that this morning, and I became very inspired to believe that we will understand the stories. Will others understand our stories? Let's think about what we're building our life on. Is it one that we can be able to share with others like we do our testimonies? These testimonies are being built constantly, just as Hines talked about even the directions to this place, how you follow God's direction and how it benefits you. There's sometimes you might follow it and you say, man, that's so far away from what I planned. One quick example. I'm a great real estate investor. But you know what I've done? I think of a house on Jackson Lake that I bought with a shared well. And I moved in it, somebody in there on the lease purchase. And the guy hooked his brother. His brother bought another place. They hooked up to that well and ran the well dry. So the guy cut the well off. The guy had leased it to abandon the place. So I'm stuck with a property on the lake without water. I pay a guy $3,000 to take that property from me. Well, the officers of First National Bank down there on the south side. I'm a great investor. That's not the way you make money. But let's look at the other side. Shoal Creek up in Buford. I buy a house there that is a house in 4 acres. I have Donahue out of Winder do the survey on it. He found an extra acre because I sliced that house off and sold it separately and kept the acreage. And when Donahue did the survey, he found another acre. He said, man, you got 5 acres, not 4. I said, wow. So it ends up, I keep that acreage and I sell it to Nancy Quattlebaum, who bought the house originally. She said, if you can keep it a couple of years, I'll buy it from you. I went ahead and set the price and sold it. And I tripled my money on that place. Now, you see what kind of investor I am? I'm good sometimes, but sometimes I make mistakes. And you know what? All of that's part of my story. So what I want to say to you today, write your story in a way that you're willing to share it. Because just as I share about the thing to buy, don't buy a property with a shared well. I made a mistake. But you can benefit from that. You see what I'm saying? There are things in our lives that others can benefit, the good and the bad. The Lord lets us know when to share what. And it's through those things that we don't know necessarily who will benefit and who won't. But the idea is a group gathering together like this. You'll get an idea in this meeting that you'll take back. It may be a seed planted that will germinate and it not show up how you're going to use it until later. But it might show up as soon as you walk out of this building. It might show up right now. But regardless, it's your story that has an impact. Jeff Meyer has had an impact on this meeting, just as this meeting has had an impact on him. As he's worked with Provino's, he's seen things go on in that business that we've never seen before. But it's not just that business. It's every business. I'm dealing with incompetent people constantly in a lot of different places because they got to fill that spot with somebody. And somebody doesn't want to work that knows how to do it. They make more money staying home. That is very confusing. We know it's not right, but let's stick to our story. In fact, come on up, Jeff. Welcome, Jeff Meyer.